Fox News.
Late News Now.
I'm John Roger, KRMS Radio News, our top local stories. A Kamloops man faces several felony charges after the Mid-Missouri Drug Task Force teams up with the Sheriff's Office to execute a narcotics search warrant in the 300 block of Shade Tree Drive in Camden County. A probable cause statement alleges that glass smoking pipes containing the presence of field-tested methamphetamine, two bags containing about 38 grams of suspected meth, digital scales, and several firearms, including two believed to have been stolen from Pettus and Morgan counties, were found inside the residence. Formally charged with second-degree drug trafficking and 9 counts of unlawful use of a firearm for possession of a weapon and a felony controlled substances, 60-year-old Keith Larson. Bond for Larson was set at $150,000. A House bill taking aim at illegal hiring practices in the construction industry across Missouri is now on its way to the governor's desk after being passed out of the Senate by a 31-0 vote. Sponsored by the 123rd's District Jeff Fernetti, the bill holds general contractors accountable if they knowingly hire unauthorized workers. The bill also gives the Missouri Attorney General stronger tools to investigate illegal hiring, allows penalties up to 10 times the wages paid to unauthorized workers, protects contractors who use federal work authorization programs, shields people who report violations from liability, and requires full cooperation with state investigations. If signed into law by the governor, its effective date would be August 28th. And the Route 66 Centennial is now shifted into high gear following a who's who gathering Thursday morning in Springfield, the birthplace of Route 66. Federal, state, and local leaders gathered for the official National Route 66 Centennial kickoff celebration. Among those in attendance was Federal Highway Administrator Sean McMaster, who recognized the national significance of the route and praised the progress being made on Interstate 44 through the Forward 44 program. MoDOT Director Ed Hassinger and Governor Mike Kehoe also took the stage to address those who were in attendance. Get a more in-depth look at the news at our website at krmsradio.com. That's your Lake News Now. I'm John Roger.
This news is sponsored by MidAmerica Bank. Visit midambk.com.
A strong team can accomplish anything. At MidAmerica Bank, we believe that, whether it's on the field or in our community. From our family to yours, we're with you every step of the way. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your partners in success. Because our commitment to excellence and integrity extends beyond the bank doors. Visit our website at midambk.com for details.
We're a bank that's good for you and your community too. Mid-America Bank.
Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll with your News Talk KRMS weatherology forecast. For today, we'll see a good deal of sunshine. We'll have high temperatures into the mid-60s. For tonight, partly cloudy, dropping back to a low of 42. And Saturday, ample sunshine, a high of 63. The current water temperature, sponsored by Captain Ron's Bar and Grill, home of Cannonball Run, is 66 degrees. And the temperature at the studios is currently 56 degrees.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starn. Stand by for news and commentary next.
At a time when technology is often used to distort the truth, there's a new tool that's actually getting it right. My Faith Assistant is a Bible-based AI designed to help you understand God's Word and grow spiritually. Unlike generic AI tools that give vague or unbiblical answers, My Faith Assistant is anchored in Scripture, built on seminary-level resources, and shaped by more than 50 years of trusted teaching from Dr. Michael Youssef. And it's free, no login required. Try it today at myfaithassistant.com.
Christian leaders say Chick-fil-A has waffled on same-sex marriage. More than a decade ago, Christians around the nation rallied to defend the fast food restaurant after gay marriage activists declared war. They tried to put Chick-fil-A out of business after the son of founder Truett Canthy said marriage is between one man and one woman. But it appears there's been a cultural shift at Chick-fil-A, a Utah franchise posting photos on its Facebook page celebrating the marriage of two men. In recent years, Chick-fil-A stopped donating to Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes after pressure from gay rights groups. Governor Mike Huckabee said his decision to lead that nationwide campaign to support Chick-fil-A was his biggest regret. And many loyal customers are wondering if Chick-fil-A's values were simply a marketing ploy to endear themselves to Christians. Regardless, traditional values have been taken off the menu at Chick-fil-A, just like the chicken salad sandwich and the coleslaw. I'm Todd Stearns.
I'm Brett Edson with Allie Holman Howe Funeral Home. My family has called Camden County home for 8 generations. Our farm's roots run deep, too. In 1929, our predecessor, Banks and Woolery, moved the original funeral home from Old Lynn Creek to the square in Camdenton. In 1955, the Reed family relocated to the present location on North Highway 5. Allie Holman Howe Funeral Home has continued that legacy with personalized distinction for over two decades. Our caring and capable team stands ready to meet your needs at Allie Holman Howe Funeral Home in Camdenton.
Funeral announcements are brought to you by the Allie Holman Howe Funeral Home.
In memoriam for Mary Catherine Felton of Clabac Springs, who passed away April 16th at the age of 76. Celebration of Life will be held at 2 o'clock on Saturday, May 2nd at the Red Fox Bar and Grill in Clamac Springs. Arrangements under the direction of the Allie Holman Howe Funeral Home in Camdenton. In memoriam for Mary Catherine Felton of Clamac Springs.
Funeral announcements are brought to you by the Allie Holman Howe Funeral Home.
Portions of our programming are pre-recorded.
The views expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Viper Broadcasting. Please limit your calls to one per hour. You've had all morning to think it over. Now let's talk about it. Your phone calls are welcome at 573-302-7000 or toll-free at 1-866-372-1270. It's hour number two of the KRMS Morning Magazine on News Talk 1150, KRMS and 97.5 KRMS FM.
It is hour number two of the Friday edition of Morning Magazine. Thanks for listening in today. 573-302-7000 if you have something on your mind, as this hour brought to you by Central Ozarks Medical Center. Tell you what, all you got to do here the last couple of weeks is look out on your car, look out on your deck, and you see all the pollen on there. And then you guess what? The cold and the sinuses start to run. Head on over there to COMC. They got several locations: Laurie, Osage Beach, Camdenton, Eldon, and Richland. They'll take care of you. They'll fix you up, patch you up, and get you back on the road. It's high quality, comprehensive, and best of all, affordable health care services. Visit centralozarks.org, 877-406-COMC, because your health is there. Mission. We're going to bring it back to Camden. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I think we've been on Camden County all day, if not all week. As we're going to talk to Kit, I lost my drawing there. Kit, what's your...
You could say Rupe or Rupe, or I just ask everybody to have all the letters there.
So Rupe. I got it. Rupe is what I had. I certainly apologize to you. And Kit, you are running for county clerk of the Camdenton.
Yes.
And I'm Camdenton. Camden County. It's Friday, Kit.
It's okay. I get that.
It's that kind of week.
Don't we live that week?
And it's no, it's good. I like what I do. I like the people I talk with. And appreciate you coming in today, taking a look at it. County clerk.
Yes, sir.
Why in the heck do you want to be county clerk?
I know I can do a fine job for everybody here in the county. So many years, decades even, have been involved with elections. So petitions, getting the petitions on, circulating petitions. I've helped with hand ballot tallies on elections. I've helped with machine tallied and the public outreach that goes along with that. I think that's really actually critical. And as I talk to a few people, when they get to open up, I find that they're finding some of the things I'm suggesting to improve the clerk's office are better. So here's an example. Somebody said to me, the only way I can find the consolidated ballot is if I go on the website. And honestly, I had the same problem. Mm-hmm. Why can't I find the ballot? You know, so I think you can go see it also online at the county clerk's site. But that's it. It's very limited. Why don't we have not just the electronic, but we also have in print in the newspapers? And I would even see if the budget would allow me to do printed copies to put at the libraries, at the city halls or town halls or village halls, to put into the newspaper itself in print. I want people to be able to see what they're voting on and get the information they need to make an informed choice. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
You know, Ken, I'm one of those that I go online and I get it. And I have my ballot, and I normally print it off, and I normally know which way I'm going when I go in there, and I pretty it normally only takes me about 30 seconds to vote because I already know which way. Boom, 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 boom. Gone. I've done my homework. But I, you know, and I, right or wrong, I tell this story every once in a while. You know, about 15 years ago, I didn't even know what the Secretary of State did for the state of Missouri. Didn't know, really didn't know. Now, with recent events that are, occurred and across the country, I think it's one of the most important jobs that we have in the state of Missouri. Also, I think our county clerks in all 115 counties that we have here, I think those are very important jobs because I think you need to know that your vote counted, and I think you need to know that the correct person won the election.
I agree with you 110%. That integrity is really invaluable. And just like you and I use the electronics and technology, there are a lot of people who don't have email or used to but don't do it anymore, can't print out this information. I mean, some of them don't even know how to use a computer or they go to the library for this stuff. So it's really, really critical that they be able to see that information. And that's the whole point to having it printed out and available in public areas like the library or the city hall or any number of different places that we might be able to seek the opportunity to put some ballots out for people.
Statutorily, I don't know the answer, and I certainly don't want to put you in a spot. I wonder what the posting commitments are.
Just the newspaper.
Just the newspaper.
Yeah, but that when my platform is to increase outreach. That's the key. It's about outreach to people. You know, there were some questions about the machines. And as long as you stay silent about answering about machines, you're going to have a problem. You've got to come forward and shed the light on it. And it's more than just doing just the simple demonstrations, which I believe they do one or two possibly, but it deserves a little bit more integrity, scrutiny. I went to an event up at the Capitol. I kind of snuck my way in to look at.
Listen, I don't condone that. I don't condemn that. I do it all the time.
I mean, it's a public building. There's a room there.
If I have to wait for an invite, I'll never get to go.
Well, maybe we'll just invite you to a few things. Right. How's that? We'll extend the courtesy. But I went in to see a demonstration on the machines that was being held for candidates for senator and the state reps. And it was a very informative piece of information that I received, among other things, is that they participate or at least go to a hackers conference in Las Vegas in August. And it's intended to see if you can hack into the machines or of machines. And so it strikes me maybe a small number of individuals who have the greatest lack of trust could go to that conference. Why not? I mean, when I looked at the county's budget for the clerk, he has $35,000 scheduled for training. Historically, he's never gone over $12,000 a year. But he's got $35,000 for training. And that's a massive difference if you want to do the number crunching. But the point here is maybe we, I don't know that I can change that this year. I imagine I could amend it. But wouldn't it be something to say, I took a portion of that and allocated it to a number of individuals, I don't know if that's three or five, to go to Las Vegas to attend the hackers conference and come back and share what they learned. I mean, the scrutiny is what I'm looking for.
We're talking. I wrote down, as you talked there, kid, I wrote down hand versus machine.
Yes. There's a big difference. There's time consumption, and there's a methodology to it. I am familiar with the problems with both, having done both. With hand counting, it takes longer. There is the potential for people to mark the wrong column or the wrong whatever. I have actually been a tallier, and I call it out, and the person sitting next to me tallies it. And I've had two observers from the candidates or whatever the issue was we were counting observe, and they saw it as well as I did when the guy put the tick mark in the wrong column. Mm-hmm. Not the column it was intended for, the candidate it was intended for. So we had to solve that immediately. And that's one of the problems that we have with hand telling. But if we open it up where we have a little bit more visibility, you can have that. It takes more time. People are slower than machines. On the flip side, machines have their pluses, and people worry about Wi-Fi breaking in and having some of the system software updates compromise the way the numbers are counted, as we've heard in the past. That's the whole point of this hackers conference and this ability.
What do you think the percent of error is with hand counting?
A lot higher than machine, but the difference is in the type of error. So if you have a software, everybody could be voting right, and it may be accurate in the count. But let's say either in transmission or in the actual physical counting in the machine, there's a coded line that says for every two votes here, you'll put another, this next vote for that person into the wrong column. Well, you don't see that. It's not visible to the eye. It's all tallied within the machine. And so that is another example of that kind of error that we have between machine and hand tallying. It's a different type of error that's being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear your music there.
That's the music. They pick up on that. Yes. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue our conversation right after this. We're talking county clerk, specifically county clerk in Camden County. Be right back.
It's May 1st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. May 1st is better known as May Day. Over the years, May Day has taken on many meanings, from ancient religious celebrations to the more modern interpretation as International Workers' Day. Also on this date, in 1920, George Herman Ruth, better known as Babe to baseball fans everywhere, hit his first career home run for the New York Yankees against who else but the team that would go on to be their longtime arch rivals, the Boston Red Sox. The animated children's series about a sponge and his friends that live in a pineapple under the sea.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants debuted in 1999. If it's your birthday today, you share it with famed frontierswoman and sharpshooter Martha Jane Cannery, better known as Calamity Jane, born in 1852. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Ah, the kids are still in bed. Morning coffee and donut.
Oh, ouch! Oh, my tooth! Oh, no, it's Saturday. Where am I going to go?
Central Ozark Medical Center brings you dental urgent care Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturday, 8 to 12. No appointment necessary. They're open 6 days a week at COMC Camdenton.
COMC, the healthy place to be.
Look them up online and Facebook.
Channel 32 KRMS TV is on the air everywhere, all over the Lake of the Ozarks, and it's free TV. 11 channels of free TV. There's something for everyone. Local lake news and national news, local sports, hit shows from every era, and so much more. All you need is an antenna to receive this digital superstation and watch these channels: 32.1, Cozy TV, network TV series from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. 32.2, Real America's Voice. It's like Fox News. 32.3, One America's News, national news and commentary. 32.4, Get TV, network entertainment series like Walker, Texas Ranger. 32.5, The Buzzer Channel, all game shows all the time. 32.6 is new to Channel 32. It's YTA, U2 America, entertainment talk shows, I Love Lucy, and a whole lot more. 32.7, NOST, nostalgic movies and series. 32.8, Daystar, religious channel for all faiths. 32.9, The Weather Channel. 32.10, The Country Music Channel, music videos from the greatest artist. 32.11, The KRMS Local Information Channel, featuring daily local talk shows, local news, local sports, city council meetings, and other local events. 11 channels, and it's all free. All you need is an antenna, which you can purchase at Walmart, Menards, or other stores for very little. Or if you need help, call the station. at 348-2772. That's 348-2772. And we'll get you in touch with 21st Century Electronics that will hook you up for a discounted rate if you mention KRMS TV. Now, enjoy the lake's first over-the-air, locally owned and operated TV station. You can also watch us on the KRMS TV Roku app or LOZ app or KRMS.TV. Channel 32, KRMS TV is free TV for you.
Why would you wander around a warehouse store looking for paint when you could just swing by your local Porter's Ace? Kent Porter here. In addition to my great staff, we have top-rated paint brands like Benjamin Moore and Magnolia. Plus, our color matching technology allows us to match any color. So stop wandering and start painting. Head to your local Porter's Ace today. Porter's Ace in Loring and now in Osage Beach. Porter's, we're here to help.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Look, mister, there's two kinds of dumb. A guy that gets naked and runs out in the snow and barks at the moon, and a guy who does the same thing in my living room. First one don't matter, the second one you kind of forced to deal with.
Talk with local Lake Area newsmakers. Consume and participate. The Morning Magazine, starting at 9 with Tony Herman on KRMS.
I'm talking with Kit Rupay, and we're talking county clerk, and of course voting. That's what the clerk does.
That's right.
And I think it is very, very important. The story I shared when we came on. I think it is very important that people have confidence, whether they win or lose, that the election was fair.
Yes.
And you count. And we were talking about hand versus machine. 10 years ago, and I'm just making the years up, you know, 10 years ago, you know, we wanted to become more accurate. So we created these machines.
Yes.
Now we're wanting to become more accurate. So we're going back to hand count. I think there's got to be some way that we can blend or do this to where we know for sure, because there seems to be error in both, or the possibility of error in both.
Right, because it's engaging people. So it's not in a bad way, but it is a reality. So, you know, here's what my solution would be, Tony, as a starting point. It's not the finished end, but you have to do it in steps to achieve to the end that you wish you to desire to be. And one of the things we could do is start with an unofficial result using the machines, giving us time to go back and take a look at what that count is for the ballots. And now, as much as that is interesting, the state statute limits you to the ability to do that recount if there is a 1% difference in the outcome between candidates. So if you have 600 ballots, 1% is 6 votes. So with that could trigger a recount. But then you're kind of stymied, because there's another statute that says you must go and get a writ and take it to a judge who approves a recount and to do the hand tally of that recount. So right there, we have to do something to look at changing the law. So I was watching what was going on in the legislature, and there was Senator Ben Brown who introduced at least 3 separate bills going from machine to actually going to just purely hand counting in one variation or another. They all died in what I call committee. It's the first test to see if you can get it forward. They all died there. So maybe we went too big of a leap, and he didn't do enough to persuade the rest of the legislature that there's some value to it. I would propose initially, I wouldn't say this would be the end, but maybe we look at amending that bill, that law that says within 1%, now you need a writ to take it to a judge to approve. Maybe we change that so the writ is applicable at higher than 1%. So if you're at 1.10%, you have to go and get the writ fulfilled. But if you're under 1%, it's like an automatic, and we can do it immediately in the office. And we have to be selective of who comes in. So I would have the observers from both candidates or the both issues, whatever is the issue, and we can sit down and do a recount. But we need to start if you can't get it all and you can't get that point persuaded, let's start with something I think that's reasonable, that's unclear in the law on how you would go about that and start straightening that out. And I'm happy to work with the Secretary of State, and I'm happy to work with any of the legislators, either our legislative body groups from our team or others as appropriate. You know, I served as a representative in another state, and I formed a veterans caucus because we just couldn't move any of those veterans bills to solve the problems with mm-hmm. veterans not getting any benefits. So there was like five or six of us, and we said, and we got all the information from our veterans groups, what are the issues, and we kind of split it up, and we each tackled an issue and we took it to the right committees, and every stinking one of those passed. So that is an approach that's reasonable and feasible for us to consider if we want to change the law. Once we change the law, we might very well be able to do a little bit more and have that goal in mind. So I just share that as a possibility, and working with our legislators, you got to change the law. Otherwise, we would be in violation of the law. And now we've got this whole thing of Tina Peters happening right here in Missouri. Yeah. And trust me, I do not want to be on that sort of platform. So I hope that helps.
Talk to me about the ballot itself. We started out our discussion talking about the ballot and what the ballot looks like. I love the strength of the website is you can see the updated candidate list. You can go back many times and say, okay, here's that race. I want to read this ballot language one more time.
Mm-hmm.
I do see where it needs to be in the paper still.
Mm-hmm.
I for the people that aren't computed or other mm-hmm. areas out mm-hmm. there, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I wouldn't change that at all. It would just be an added on.
The ballot language.
Yes, sir.
When the ballot language, I think that is some of the most powerful. Did it go up to 100 or is it still 60 words that you can use?
I think it's 60.
Who writes that?
Usually it's either the Secretary of State or the I think it's the Secretary of State, but there's also sometimes a commission that's associated with reviewing this and then approving what the language itself is that's on the ballot. But they are having to live within the constraints of what the law dictates.
The relationship between the Secretary of State and the county clerk, when it comes to ballot issues, we file them all up there. And then does the ballot come back to you or do we create the ballot?
I believe they give us the language we need to be putting onto the ballot. So, and I wouldn't change the
format. Powerful 60 words.
Yeah, it is. And I wouldn't necessarily change the way that ballot looks. So if you've ever voted in other jurisdictions, I mean, one person said to me, your ballot looks like a final high school exam at the end of 12 years. Whereas I go in Missouri and I sit down and, man, I can whip that sucker out just like what you were talking about.
That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. So, and I agree. The information and clarity should be all there, right there on the website. But when it comes to the actual ballot, I'd really like to see people be able to go in there and see what the ballot is and be able to get the information that they need to have. I would even have the cross-reference to the candidates and how to find their information on the website as well. So,
we'll take a quick one. We'll come back. We're going to keep talking elections.
Thank you.
Fox on Tech.
You can hear the grinding of the belts at this recycling facility in Portsmouth, Virginia. Instead of dozens of workers sorting recycling by hand, AI-powered cameras are learning what can be recycled and then using pneumatic jets to sort the materials. Denver-based AMP is responsible for this, the first-of-its-kind AI supercharged recycling plant. Tim Stewart is the CEO.
Your typical recycling facility that's, you know, doing... a town or a municipality has, you know, 50 to 100 employees that are touching that material, pulling out material. The example we went through here today is we have two people touching the material, and we're actually able to capture all of the recycling material. So a stark difference.
The dirty secret about recycling is that only a small portion of materials that can be recycled actually are. With Fox on Tech, I'm Jeff Flock, Fox Business.
At Gary Serdike, you're right on a reputation.
Hi, this is Greg at Serdike Yamaha of Lake of the Ozarks. Since we've been doing this for over 50 years, everyone asks, how is business during the slowing economy? Well, it's simple. When the economy is robust, people buy boats, motorcycles, and bourbon. When the economy gets weak, people buy boats, motorcycles, and bourbon. So here is a winning investor strategy. Buy your bourbon from one of the lake's great restaurants and bars, and buy your boats and motorcycles from Serdike Yamaha of Lake of the Ozarks today, before we run out again.
While you're at the lake, rent now and receive 50% off your weekday rental. Reserve your boat or wave runner at SerdikeBoatRental.com.
You ride on a reputation
at Gary Serdike.
You ride on a reputation.
Your roof's becoming a problem. Call Ellerman Roofing. You'll deal with the owner personally. He'll oversee your project from the first appointment to final cleanup. We all want honest, dependable, and consistent, so call Ellerman Roofing. You'll always get a fair price. Contact Ellerman Roofing, a division of Kimes Corp, LLC, for all your commercial or residential roofing needs. Call 573-348-3553 today.
At Allen Motor Company, they aren't looking for a quick sale. They want lifelong customers. That means being a dealership you can trust. If it's time to upgrade to a quality vehicle, head to Allen Motor Company in the heart of Eldon, across from Wood Supermarket. Good credit, bad credit, no problem. Allen Motor Company will finance your future, not your past, guaranteed. You'll find just the vehicle you want at Allen Motor Company. AllenMotorCompanyOnline.com or 573-557-2650.
This is Steve Bisciott. It's time to play ball.
Unbelievable!
And the Kansas City Royals play right here.
They've done it!
Let's go!
Hear the Royals on Fox Sports 98.7. Brought to you by Rough Water Docks, Lake Life Electric and Remodeling, Polylift, The Donut Palace, LOZ Roofing and Construction, EconoLift, Wet Steps, MJ's Mini Mart, Steam Away, Andy's Frozen Custard, High Tech Auto Body and Towing, Captain Ron's, Lloyd Belt Automotive, Yak Racks, Vicky Lloyd's Seal the Deal Team Remax, Lake of the Ozarks, Lake Auto Glass and Detail, Get Lit, KC and LOZ, Magic Dragon U-Haul, and Backyard Portable Buildings, and Warman Auto Works. The Royals play ball on 98.7 Fox Sports Radio.
That's a base hit. Two will score. The Royals win it.
His narcissistic disorder is off the chart.
You know what? He's also insanely rude.
Talk with local Lake Area newsmakers. Consume and participate. The Morning Magazine, starting at 9 with Tony Herman on KRMS.
Fifty-eight degrees out there. We're going to see a high today in the mid-60s. Going to be a nice way to kick the weekend off. Not going to be hot all weekend, but yeah, we should have a little sun out there. We're talking elections with Kit Roupe and Roupe.
Yes, sir.
Roupe.
Yes,
I apologize.
No, it's all
and,
right.
And, you know, the big thing, once again, I want to go back to hand versus machine. And I'm just a very analytical person. A lot of things I don't get emotional about, but it doesn't mean I don't have an opinion. I see an opportunity for error in both.
Yes.
And hand counting right now is not the law in the state of Missouri.
No.
And so you see that. I would think some sort of blended system for verification to get to a percentage of error. Would be the best.
I agree with you 100%. 110%.
What does that look like? What does that look like once again?
So what
should a margin of error be for this?
I mean, let's start with the 1%. Maybe that's not sufficient, but let's start with that 1%, okay? And let's say we don't change the law, but I talk to some of the judges and say, hey, look, you know, Let's talk about this 1%. Can I at least approach you on elections and get that a writ so that we can do the Hank and this do this before Election Day actually happens, right? So that we can do a recount.
Yeah, that's a little busy on that day.
Yeah, it certainly is. So we could do that recount necessarily. But I would start with, okay, let's do the machine counting. I mean, we might as well test both of these. In theory, that's that analytical side. I tend to be of a similar nature. It tends to takes me down the rabbit hole. But let's start with that. The unofficial results posted on election night, machine counted. If the machine's right, then our hand tally should prove correct as well, right? Mm-hmm. So we should go back. And then during that period of time between the official, the unofficial and the official postings, which is just a matter of days, if that, we could sit down and do that hand tally of the ballots for at least starting with that 1%. See if we can get buy into that 1% across the spectrum. And then hopefully we start with that. And if we see some good progress.
So you think this should be an automatic
yeah,
1%,
but until
1% counted by hand?
I absolutely do. It's like, to me, it's an automatic recount. But that said, that's not the way the law reads. So I'll honor the justice system the way it's appropriate. And I would go and talk to the judges. Now, they may say you need to show us cause or what makes you think that there was some trifling in this election that you need to do that. And I would go on to say, you know, there's error in everything that you submit. And I want to just have that reassurance. And I think the public needs that reassurance.
And so what a lot of people don't know, maybe they don't know, aren't unaware of is – there's only so many ways you can handle the ballots.
Right.
You can't sit and say, you know what, I'm going to pull 10% of the ballots out and count them. If you do, there's going to be a knock on the door the next day.
Right. And we would only be looking at the races that are within a 1% margin, you know, between the whatever the issue or the candidates or what have you. I mean, I'm thinking here of the presiding commissioner, how many people are in that race. Wow. So that would be a little tricky, but still, even so, I talk about transparency, improving transparency. To me, this is a stage or a step in that direction to improve transparency. It's an opportunity for a test, and I hope that I can persuade a judge or two to see the merits in what we're talking about, as well as maybe invite some legislators to come down and observe in that process, too. It's a transparency matter. People are losing trust, whether they know it or not, in some form or fashion, just having this conversation. And so let's kind of do something to restore that process and get that trust back.
You know, it would be it fits in like a puzzle. You know, if we have determined by whatever statistical analysis that we have a 1% error, you know, if you lose by 4%, it doesn't make a difference. If you lose by 1%, then the automatic recount kicks in.
That's what I would start as a beginning stage. If it shows it has merits and that we can see some issues with ones that are higher than that, then we could. I mean, look at President Trump's election. Those were more than 1% variations on the way those ballots came in. And we had people who were handling the ballots and it was doing whatever. I think we had, that's why the judge gets involved in Missouri, is that you just can't go walking in there and just pull these ballots out and start counting them. There has to be some kind of control to make sure everything is legitimate and not undermined in that whole process.
I think a lot of people are worried about the extra cases that automatically show up. I'm going to be honest with you, Kit. I started staying awake all night on election night because every time recently when I would go, I would say, okay, we're winning. My side's winning. I'd go to bed and wake up and we lost.
Isn't that the truth?
And, somehow,
and it wouldn't be a little
those,
bit.
Somehow those cases all show up and when I'm asleep.
Yeah, well, and that's in other states, probably more than Missouri. But I think, though, there's opportunity for us.
For the most part, I trust our elections.
I tend to as well. But that's not the point. It's not about our trust. If you're running for elected office, you're representing everybody in that county, not just one singular faction or even your own point of view. You could vote personally no on something where somebody else would vote yes. And now you have to look at how many people are really have this persuasion. And as a representative, I would have to maybe vote yes or no, depending on where the population is going. So That's why legislators or any elected official should stay in touch with people. I really think that's an imperative that we have to be doing for folks.
Just for the record, Kit.
Yes, sir.
When I vote no, I hate the people that vote yes. They cancel out my vote.
I know they do, don't they?
Those dirty dogs.
I get mad at people who don't vote that we need them to vote.
If there's any way I could, you know, point them out to you, could you make sure that you just grab their ballot?
Oh, no.
Dang. But, so, you know, you talked about turnout. And now I'm just asking opinion.
Okay.
And just having a conversation.
Right.
We'll ask the hard questions later on.
Oh, great.
But, you know, you take a look at the turnout recently.
Mm-hmm.
We have less than 10% of the county determining for the 90.
Yeah.
Shame on us on the 90. But at the same point, how can we do this a little differently?
I think part of it is knowing what's on the ballot. I think that's one step, truly. Well, I don't know what's on the ballot. I don't even know if it matters to me. But I think the other part is getting, so this would be, I think, the Central Committee. They need to get out there and start handing out information about their candidates or creating events where people can meet their candidates. I think that's a critical step because people won't vote for something just because it's on the ballot. And so you see them not even going to collect their ballot. They don't think it means anything to them.
Yeah.
And now you have to at least impart some information so they can recognize what that means to them. So I applaud you in the show here because you do exactly that. So awareness of what is happening is so critical. That would be one of the ways I would say it. But as the clerk, I just count them. I don't motivate the voters. But I can give them the tools to be able to have a little bit more understanding of what they're voting for and then voting for it. I think that's really critical to them.
Sometimes I think we could actually do the ballots because a lot of times people get confused when they go on, just like you talked about, whether the ballot is online, whether the ballot is in the newspaper. You see all of these things and you go, like the last election, Basically, I had nothing to vote for in my area. Nothing.
I agree. Well, maybe some
happens.
Of that has to do with
and
the,
that happens.
Yeah, mine was in the previous election. It was a general election. What do you mean I don't have anything to vote on here? I just can't even fathom that.
Yeah, because I love to vote. I vote 2 or 3 times a day.
Oh, well, possibly in some form.
Vote early, vote often.
No, we don't have dead people voting.
No, that is true. I mean, that's the one thing that Secretary of State Hoskins has done. He's removed over 220,000 ineligible voters. About 70,000 of those
were deceased.
Yeah, they it was a little hard for them to get to the polls.
Well, that's true. I see another little flaw that hasn't been even addressed, maybe it has been thought of, but I'll articulate it, okay? So I move here from another state. I register to vote, tell them I change of address. I'm thinking everything's okay. Well, the state I came from, they have an email or a text message that comes out and says, your ballot's on its way because they do mail-in ballots. And I said, what do you mean my ballot's on the way? I've already told everybody. I've done what I needed to do. And so I made some inquiries and they said, you need to go to the state website and deregister your eligibility as a voter.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned when I went to the Capitol, only 27 states have some kind of cooperation in ensuring that others are not voting in two districts. See, that's the issue.
How does the office determine that? And it's amazing that you segued into that because that was my next topic. You know, you have Election Day voting, now we have the week of voting. How does that work? I can tell you what I think, just as a whole, but how does it work in the clerk's office to handle all those different ballots, and how do we assess that those are accurate?
So early ballot collection is either by absentee, and it's mailed to the clerk's office, and they collect them and handle them very carefully there. They're controlled, they're secured. Only the people at election time can do the counting, those election judges that are involved in counting the ballots. Within the voting machines, there is a box that's there that you would you get your ballot. You have to, this is the routine that I would put into place. I would have an election judge, the judges, confirm that you are on the registered voter and give you the appropriate ballot. You complete your ballot yourself, and then you put it into the machine in this instance today. So it goes in, the machine counts it, and it records the effort. I'm not sure that election judges are always at every location or that there's two election judges present, both parties present at those places. So that to me is a concern. I do know that those machines have locks on them. You just can't just go in there and pull the ballots out and change them. So, and when they get to a secure location, they have a secure room where they pull those out. And again, with election judges, they do double check the numbers. The machine spits out the results, and then those are put into the reporting formats that you find online, that you can see online right away and is used in the paper. So that's the way the machine does it today. If we did the hand tally, we would post the machine tally, and then where we would have appropriate less than 1% difference in the outcomes, if we can make this happen, we would sit down and bring in those folks and appropriate election judges to observe the count and do an appropriate count using a hand tally ballot system on just those elections for now. And if that is a successful approach, then we'll talk to the legislature about adjusting the law from there. But you have to show what your intent is and your and show that it's not a malicious effort. So I hope I answered your question.
It's important to be accurate.
Yes.
It's important that the right person wins.
Absolutely. I've been there. I am now.
That is Kit Rupay. Thank you for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Tony.
We'll take a quick one. We'll come back. We'll take some calls right after this.
You'd think so many people taking Ozempic would be killing a company like Hershey's, but it's actually the opposite. Hershey's thinks GLP-1 drugs are making their gum and breath mints fly off the shelves. If you didn't know, those weight loss drugs have a charming little side effect called Ozempic breath. They slow your digestion, which doesn't just create sulfury burps, but it can also dry out your mouth. Now, do you want a mint? So what made the price of gas jump 30 cents in a week? Apparently a lot of things. The last shipments of oil to leave the Middle East before the war started were finally delivered last week, which means there's a lot less of it out there. Then there was a lot of bad timing, the switch to more expensive summer blend gas, and then a bunch of refineries shut down for scheduled maintenance. Today is one of the most stressful days in a high school senior's year when they've got to pick which college they go to if they were accepted by more than one. Most U.S. colleges have set today as the deadline to confirm enrollment for the fall. It's also when the check is due. That's what's trending. I'm Christian Chase.
If your nonprofit, club, group, or civic organization has an event or message it would like to have announced on News Talk KRMS, send it at least 3 weeks in advance to PSA at krmsradio.com. The community calendar is sponsored by Osage River Popcorn, Beck Wellness Center, RJ's Family Restaurant, Mills & Sons Insurance, and presented by News Talk KRMS.
Listen live on our smartphone app, Alexa, Google Play, and KRMSradio.com. The Morning Magazine, starting at 9 with Tony Herman on KRMS.
N52, as we get ready to go into the weekend, 573-302-7000 is the number. Lost you there. Give us a call back. I'll get you right on. As the president yesterday, when he was interviewed, he was asked the question that all of us hate. Does this outfit make me look fat?
I want to follow up on the security changes. Is there talks about you potentially wearing a bulletproof vest moving forward, given you have now been shot at?
I don't know if I can handle looking 20 pounds heavier.
Which
guys, they look so good. Some of these guys are physical specimens. Some of these guys are trouble. I don't want to be near him. If you want to gain 20 to 25 pounds, get a West Coast. And frankly, the vest did an amazing job because it took a bullet close up. And he didn't even want to go to the hospital. I mean, we sent him to the hospital just in case, but he didn't want, still a hit. But he didn't want to go to the hospital. The vest totally protected him. Still a lot of power behind that shot, though. That's like getting hit by Mike Tyson. But it's amazing. I've been asked about that. And I guess it's something you consider. In one way, you don't like to do it because you're giving in to a bad element. And so, I don't know. But I have been asked about it.
President asked if he is considered wearing a protection vest, a bulletproof vest is what we commonly call it. I guess that's what everybody calls it. But he said, I don't know if I can handle looking 20 pounds heavier. And so, and then he did go into his answer that I get it. I understand where you look like, mentally, does it change how you act? Does it change how you talk if you wear one? Yeah, I think that's a very viable thing. He doesn't want to appear to be afraid, and he wants to be strong. I certainly understand that. But this attempt was a crazy one, wasn't it? This guy running in there, trying to get shots fired. Probably not the best plan I've ever seen. My big question is, how did he get past that? How did he get past that initial where he just took off running? As it sure caught that one guy by surprise, didn't it? As he turned around and all of a sudden this guy flew by him. But you got to say, yeah. So the president, a very serious question, came up with a funny answer. But it just shows, as he says, how dangerous his job really is. Then, of course, many of the questions are coming from the war in Iran. The president gave this discussion last night as he was asked by Greta, the host, of his position on the war, basically saying, you know what? If you listen to a lot of people, you think Iran's winning.
I'm negotiating a deal with Iran, and every week, every 3 days, they put in a thing that the war should stop. And if people ask me, how the hell do you negotiate like that? You're destroying them. Every day I read, think of it, we militarily decapitated the country. And every day I read about how well they're doing militarily. They got nothing left. They're done. And yet I read in the New York Times, I see in that stupid CNN, which I only watch because you have to watch a little bit of the enemy. So I watch it for a very short period. But you have to, you have to be smart. And if you see CNN, you'd think they're winning the war. If you read the New York Times, it's actually seditious, in my opinion. You read the New York Times, you actually think they're winning the war. I read some of these columnists, but it all starts from the top. It's a terrible thing. So we're negotiating with them, and they read how well they're doing, and they're sitting in a cave, and all their leaders are dead. Everyone's dead around them. Missiles are all over the place. They have no navy. They have no air force. They have no nothing. We can fly right over the middle of Tehran without being shot at because they have no anti-aircraft. They have nothing. And they're reading that they're winning the war. They're trying to figure it out. They get the New York Times, I guess, in some form. And they think we're crazy. But, I'm supposed to be negotiating. And they make you negotiate from weakness, not strength. But the difference is I don't care. And everybody knows the facts. We are decimating that country. I got a call today from another country that's more on our side than their Middle Eastern country, saying, sir, please don't hit them anymore. They're decimated. Please. He's actually helping them. He's actually saying, please. And yet the New York Times will tell you that they're winning the war. It's so sad.
I don't think they're winning the war. I think we have put devastation on them. But at the same time, We've got to explain why the ships are sitting out in the Strait, why gas is jumping to 4 gallons, or $4 a gallon here. But if you want to be grateful today, be grateful this is not your mayor.
I think the claims that millionaires are going to leave our state are, like, super overblown. And if, you know, the ones that leave, like, bye.
Never tell money. Never tell people with money to go ahead and leave your state. That is Seattle Mayor Katie Holmes, as she says, yeah, if you want to leave, go ahead and take your money. You need to pick up the phone. Call Mindami. Ask how that's working for him. We'll be right back. We're going to wrap this one up.
Join Paul Hannigan and Bob Rankin this Saturday morning for the Outdoor Show at 8 and the Sweet Spot Golf Show at 9. Both shows will feature live guests with tips from local pros, the word on local and national tournaments, and giveaways. Two shows about what we do best at the lake, hunting, fishing, and golf. It's Paul Hannigan and Bob Rankin with the Outdoor Show and the Sweet Spot Golf Show this Saturday morning from 8 until 10 on News Talk KRMS.
That's going to do it for the second hour of Morning Magazine. This one brought to you once again by Central Ozarks Medical Center, committed to leading the way to healthier communities. You know, they've got medical clinics, telemedical. If you've never done telemedical, I would encourage you to get in on it. It's a great way. We all know sometimes you don't need to go in there and sit for an hour seeing a doctor. Get online. Get an appointment with telemedical. Of course, dental, we talk about that. If you've got a problem today, don't worry about it. You've still got the rest of today and tomorrow, as they are open until noon. Today at the Osage Beach Senior Center, what do we got? It is country fried steak, roll, mixed veggies, mashed potatoes. That's a good one. Head on over there. They're going to serve until 12:30. They are open until 4 o'clock. That's going to do it for today. I hope you had a great week. I hope you're going to have a great weekend planned for you. And guess what? We're going to be back here on Monday and do it all again. I'll see you then.
At your service since 1951, News Talk, KRMS, Osage Beach, and KRMS FM HD3, Osage Beach.